Good morning. I am not John Paul Suchecki. I am, however, John Oldis. I am one of the shepherds here at the Warrensburg Church. Pull this little gizmo out, and I'm going to be advancing just all over the place and that, but bear with me. John Paul has had some oral surgery earlier in the week, or a procedure, if you will. I spoke with him this morning. He said that he's feeling better. Today's the first day he's actually not been real sore. But here a couple weeks ago when he told us that he was going to do that, the shepherds, we said, instead of playing it by ear, and if we need to fill in, we can. We'll just cover you for today, and that way you don't have to worry about it. And I think he goes back for the rest of it Tuesday, he said. So prayers and encouragement for him as he goes through that. I'd like to welcome our visitors this morning. You are our honored guests. Do please stick around. If you haven't been, had your hand shook, if you haven't been talked to a whole lot yet, you will be talked to in a nice way, encouraged, in a loving way, to say, hey, thanks for being here and joining us. To those out there on the Book of Faces, good morning. Got to welcome those folks too, because after all, we do a live broadcast on, and they can only see me up here for them. But anyway, this morning, counting the cost. As some of the songs that we have sang already, and really, the song service this morning and David's words around the table, I could really just about go to the invitation and we'd be done. You're not that lucky. Not that fortunate this morning. Oh, wow. Well, I'll be reading this to you for the most part. Sorry. I wasn't sure of the font size. I should have threw it up there beforehand. Anyway, I apologize. It's a little small. But anyway, you can read the first one there. What is expected of me? Expectation. The strong belief that something will happen. A belief that someone will or should achieve something. Expectations. What are God's spiritual expectations of you? And these are some questions I'm going to throw out to you for you to answer yourself. I can't answer them for you. Are your spiritual expectations the same? If not, why aren't they? So what are... Uh-oh. The girls are playing with me back there, so making the font bigger. That's all right. So what are some things that hinder us from aligning with God's expectations of us? Could be fleshly desires. Not putting God in the proper place on a priority list. Or putting ourselves first on that list. Bring us to the rich young ruler, a classic example of putting myself first. I'm just going to paraphrase this, but if you'd like to turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 18, verses 18 through 30. That's Luke 18, 18 through 30. Here we find the story of the rich young ruler, or the rich young man. He approached Jesus seeking reassurance of eternal life. By doing this, he asked him, what must I do? And he said, I've kept all the commands, all the thou shalt nots. I've done this since my youth. All right, so he said, I've checked those blocks off, that drop-down check-off list. He's done all that. And Jesus said, you still lack one thing. What do I lack? I've done everything. Give all you possess to the poor. We'll stop right there for just a brief moment. Understand, am I coming through this microphone all right? I hope. Is it come okay? Good. Understand that this young man has spent his part of his life gathering all these possessions, all that fun stuff that we like to gather to go have fun with. Enjoy a weekend away, whatever. So Jesus tells this young man, give all you possess to the poor and come follow me. And he walked away saddened. He turned away and walked away saddened.
Why? Because it was that difficult for him to give up what he'd spent time gathering.
Do we sometimes do that same thing? Spend our lives gathering our stuff. I'm not going to go through a list of stuff because everybody has their own things. I'm not saying that's bad. If you put it before God, that's where the problem comes in. You could have stuff. Put God first. So if that's the same thing, how would you react? Would you be willing to give up your stuff and to follow God? Follow Jesus? As David alluded to earlier, Matthew chapter 6, worry. Talks about worry. Sermon on the Mount. We have nothing to worry about. God will take care of us. He said so. I'll take care of you. I take care of the birds of the air, fish of the sea. I take care of the grass. It's here today, burn tomorrow. I take care of everything. What more of a promise could we want from our Heavenly Father? That we should be willing to give a portion back to God. Just a portion. After all, everything that we do have, everything that we have has come from God. Everything. To include His Son, Jesus. Jesus gave His Son. Matthew chapter 1, verse 18 through 21. I'm getting some coaching down here from somebody. But anyway, Matthew chapter 1, verse 18 through 21. Thank you, dear. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. When His mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child by the Holy Spirit. And Joseph, her husband, being a righteous man and not wanting to disgrace her, planned to send her away secretly. Verse 20. But when he had considered this, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child who has been conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. God gave us Jesus. Gave His all. That's all God had. His love and Jesus. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. For whosoever believeth in Him shall not perish but have everlasting life or eternal life. Who did God give His Son to? Those of us sitting in here? Those of us sitting in any church? He gave it to Jesus to everyone. Everyone. Those that are in the bars on Friday and Saturday night, hooping and hollering and living it up, He gave Jesus to them. Everybody. We just have to accept that gift. Seen the example Jeff did a couple of times. He stood up here and held up a $20 bill or whatever bill he had in his hand. And he said, whoever wants this, all you have to do is come up here and get it. And obviously, we did have a couple people that came up and got it. Nothing asked in return. Come get it. God does that with Jesus. My son's right here. You just have to take it. Use him. My gift to you. It's a special gift. Not only was it God's only child, but His only son. That's all He had. His son. His only son He gave to us. How many of us have an only son? How many of us have an older son? Oldest son. Would you be willing to give him up for the world? I'm seeing some facial expressions out there like, okay, interesting, yeah. Tough one. This gift is a gift of eternal life. A gift that we will never be able to repay. God gave us His all. He gave us Jesus. What did Jesus give us? Since we're working on down this list, what did Jesus give us? Mark chapter 10, verses 35 through 45. And I do encourage you to turn in your Bibles to these scriptures. I don't have this one up here. I'm kind of paraphrasing it a little bit. But Mark chapter 10, verses 35 through 45.
Jesus here talks about serving others. He has John and James talking about who's the greatest. Who's going to be the greatest? Jesus, grant us that we may sit on the left and your right hand. And Jesus said, that's not up to me. Only God can do that. Verse 45. Did I get it all? Yep, verse 45. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve. I'm going to stop right there for a brief moment. For even the Son of Man, we're talking the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, our Savior, the One, did not come to be served. After all, should the King of Kings and Lord of Lords be served? He came to serve. He came to serve. Finishing the verse out here. And to give His life. And preparing this statement here, it's touching me. I hope it touches you. And to give His life a ransom for many. Jesus gave so much during His ministry, and finally gave the Spirit. John 19, verse 30. Therefore, when Jesus had received the sour wine, as David mentioned earlier around the table, when we were gathered around the table together, He said, it is finished. And He bowed His head and gave up His Spirit. What did Jesus give us? His life. He gave us His life. Next example that I have here, and getting a little more practical here for us, is the poor widow. Mark chapter 12, verses 41 through 44. Mark 12, 41 through 44. And He sat down opposite the treasury and began observing how the people were putting money into the treasury, and many rich people were putting in large sums. A poor widow came and put in two small copper coins, which amount to a cent. One penny. We all know that little copper thing, one penny. We find them laying on the ground, all over the place. Calling His disciples to Him, in verse 43, He said to them, truly I say to you, this poor widow put in more than all the contributors to the treasury. When these other guys put in thousands of dollars. She only put in 1 cent. How could she have given more? For they all put in out of their surplus. But she, out of her poverty, put in all she owned and all she had to live on. And we'll refer back to Matthew chapter 6, not to worry about what you're going to live on. Give joyfully, give cheerfully. Not out of your surplus. After all, did God not give us His only Son? And in turn, did that Son not only give us His life? In the Lord's eyes, this poor widow gave more than all the others put together. Though her gift was by far the smallest. The value of a gift is not determined by its amount, but by the spirit in which it is given. A gift given grudgingly or for recognition loses its value. When you give, remember, gifts of any size are pleasing to God when they are given out of gratitude and a spirit of generosity. When you do something, giving up your time, do it without grumbling or complaining. You should be doing it cheerfully, happy to do it, regardless of the circumstances. I know there was a lot of folks helping the Browns load yesterday. Folks, it got hot out there. I wasn't out there. I was doing other things outside. It was hot. It got hot. But I hope nobody grumbled and growled about it. After all, you went there with a cheerful heart to help somebody. Do it with a big smile and drive on. The same with giving. Do it cheerfully, without grumbling or complaining. Well, John got up there Sunday morning. Told us about giving.
I'm not going to stand up here and tell you how much to give. I can't do that. You have to do an introspection, Herman. Introspection. You have to inspect your own heart. You have to look at your own stuff and figure out what you're going to give. But do it with a cheerful heart, or it has no value. Did a little research. Found a few websites. That's where I got my research at. A few different websites. In 2017, charitable giving in the U.S., just in the United States, charitable giving. Come up with a number in your head. $410 billion. We are a cheerful giving nation to help different charities, help different organizations. We do a good job doing that. How about when it comes to contributing to church? $50 billion. Yeah, let me click this right on up there. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 6 through 7. Now this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each one must do just as he has purposed in his heart, not grudgingly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. God loves a cheerful giver. But he wants you to do it on your terms, your free will. Sure, don't go too far. It's not the amount that we give, but with the attitude that we give with. As we said just a little bit earlier, God is concerned about how we give from the resources that we have. He knows what you have. He knows how much your income is. He knows that. I don't know that. I don't care to know that. That's between you and God. And what you give according to how you've been blessed, that's between you and God. That's where you need to search your heart. There is a bunch of scriptures that talk about giving in the Old Testament and New Testament. Talks about giving. Talks about how to give. But you have to inspect your heart on what you're going to give and give accordingly. One more little tidbit here. 401k plans, our retirement, 6.8% of our annual income goes toward a 401k. Now we're going to come down to some little informational stuff, but pertinent stuff that deals with giving and deals with this congregation here. So far this year, we've averaged nearly $2,200 a week in giving contributions on our budget, with a weekly budget of $2,158. I know it's a little small to see, but that's what it says up there, trust me. That's good. That's good. Commendable. Our hearts are in the right direction anyway, at the very least. Over the last 8 weeks, and this was brought up in the men's meeting last week when we discussed the budget. Over the last 8 weeks, we've averaged, and I believe that's right, Ed, about $2,450, pretty close, over the last 8 weeks. Pretty close, yeah. Somewhere thereabouts. Between $2,400 and $2,450. During the summer months, when contributions typically go down a little bit. Also around the holidays, they typically go down too. Good job. Very commendable. Our hearts are in the right place. I'm afraid I'm going to step off the front there while I'm looking up here. As I said, the 2019 budget last week was passed by the men of the congregation. We spent nearly 2 hours discussing this budget. And it's out on the table in the foyer. You're welcome to pick it up and look at it. I'm not going to go down line by line. That's information that you can look at and see our different areas and what we need to fund. The new weekly budget that we have approved is $2,430 a week. Very achievable. We said so the last 8 weeks. We said we could do this. It's very achievable. Our hearts, again, are in the right place and going in the right direction. What does your budget look like? Just just a question. I'm not saying it should look like this, but I hope it comes through pretty close to looking like this. God first. God asks of our first fruits. He wants our first fruits. He wants the best that we have. That should be our first bill, if you would. Our first bill that we take care of weekly should be to God. We're also told to pay our debts. If we accrue a debt, we're to pay those debts. We have monthly debt, house payment, if you're still paying on a house, utilities, whatever you might have. We're told we have to pay those. This is not an all-inclusive list. One more thing on there. Not going to be a killjoy. Oh, I forget what they said on the radio all the time about that. But not going to be a killjoy with your life and your money and your funds. Hey, take some money and use some recreational time. Go enjoy. Relax. After all, did Jesus not go and relax? He got away from it all occasionally to recharge. And we need to do the same thing. We need to be able to recharge. All right. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 10 through 11. Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in everything for all liberality, which through us is producing thanksgiving to God. As I said, God has promised He will take care of us. Even if you think you might be a little thin on the funds, He's still going to take care of you. If you think about it, you know that month that you money was tight, but somehow everything worked out great. You had what you needed. Maybe not what you wanted, but you had definitely had what you needed. God's going to take care of us. He's going to take care of you. I think I have one more slide. I want you to remember that. I want you to inspect your heart. I'm not going to tell you what to give, how much to give, where to give. But understand this, it does take money to keep the church going. There's different things to fund. There's so many different areas. We talked about the Hofstetters. They are still running their mission in Africa. They still have to fund that. That's part of what we give to as a congregation. We give a contribution to that. We give a contribution to reaching and teaching ministries down in South Africa as well. It takes money to do God's work in some places. It takes muscle and brawn, as some found out yesterday, to do God's work. As sad as it was to see the Brown family leave, we showed them our love even on their departure from this body, but they're going somewhere else, but they're still with us in spirit. Remember in Genesis, the first two siblings, Cain and Abel, how they gave? Oh, got ahead of myself, sorry. The next slide after this is where I was going with that. For the ministry of the 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 12 through 15. For the ministry of this service is not only fully supplying the needs of the saints, but is also overflowing through many thanksgivings to God. Because of the proof given by this ministry, they will glorify God for your obedience to your confession of the gospel of Christ and for the liberality of your contribution to them and to all. While they also, by prayer on your behalf, yearn for you because of the surpassing grace of God in you. Thanks be to God for His indescribable gift, Jesus Christ. Thank you, God. The next time the opportunity comes around for you to give monetarily, remember to base what you give not on what the flesh would want, but what the Spirit would have you give. And now, I'm going to leave you with this, and the message will be yours. Don't be like Cain. Always be able and willing to give your best. Brothers and sisters, the message is yours. If you have have any prayer requests, any needs, you can let those be known now and come forward. We'll pray over you, pray with you. Or you can get one of the shepherds here after worship and talk with us. We're more than happy to do so. Let us stand and sing the song of encouragement.